And good afternoon, Muskegon. Welcome back to the show that you used to know as Torn the Two is now known as Community Focus. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts, and
I'm Melvin Burns.
Welcome to the show, your show for news, information, and more. Welcome for this first show for 2025. Welcome to our new format, making sure that we give you the information that you need to make you smart, real, and breaking down those mirrors and getting rid of that smoke. We want to thank our sponsors. Visit Tanzania for less. We can't thank those guys enough. Kids free trip to Africa, please sponsor those. Don't forget Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. Listen, and if you want to be a sponsor, make sure you get on that list. Community Focus, we're going to go into our fourth and fifth year with a bang. Pastor Melvin Burns, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, brother. How are you? We should tell people you're not in punishment, not feeling the best today, so we're in separate locations, but we'll be back together next week, hopefully.
We'll be back next week. Speaking of next week, don't forget that you, if you're driving and would like to see this, these messages do repeat themselves on all our media sites as well. Speaking of media sites, what is the weather looking like, brother?
Well, if you're here in Muskegon, Michigan, you know it's snowing. It's going to do that for several more hours. We'll have a loaded day of 26, high of 32. And we may get a little break in the snow on Saturday, a low 26, high of 31. More snow likely on Sunday, low 25, high 34. Monday and Tuesday expected to be windy. The lows will drop a little bit, 12 degrees on Monday, high of 31. Tuesday, low of 11, high of 20. Wednesday will be cloudy, low of 19, high of 22. And next Thursday, windy again, low of 21, high of 35.
So Muskegon, we are under winter advisory. So let's get right into Community Focus this week. Pastor Mel Burns, who do we have on as our international guest this week?
As our first guest to Community Focus for 2025, we have Maria Barakat, who is a Lebanese-Palestinian and anti-war activist. And we also have Seth Donnelly, who is a resident of Sonoma, California. He's also an active in some an advocacy for Haiti and other action committees. And today we're going to talk a little bit about some things that are taking place in California related to Palestine. I'd like to welcome you two both to Community Focus.
Let's put your hands together for them.
Thanks so much for having us. We're so honored to be here as your first guest of 2025.
Yes. Now, you all are involved in a major lawsuit in California. Just before we talk about that, just real briefly, give a little introduction of yourself, please.
Well, my name is Maria Barakat. I am one of the class representatives for the class action, and our group is called Taxpayers Against Genocide. Mm-hmm. I am a Palestinian Lebanese American. My father was a refugee from Lebanon in the 80s, 70s and 80s, and came to the United States. My great aunt was expelled during the first Nakba in 1948 in Palestine, and was driven out of their home on foot out of historic Palestine to Lebanon, where they lived in refugee tents, the UN UNRWA refugee tents for years. Mm-hmm. So I'm originally from Oklahoma. I'm calling in from Sonoma County, though, and I'm on the unceded Pomo, Miwok, and Wapo land here in Sonoma. Mm-hmm. This is a land that is the site of violence and genocide and occupation here in California. It's the home of a prominent Spanish mission.
Okay.
And so we're well aware of the connections to the origin of the state of Israel, the occupation state of Israel, and mm-hmm. to our own roots here in the United States, to slavery, to occupation and genocide as well. Mm-hmm. In my day job, I'm a public policy expert in racial equity policy.
Okay.
And I've been a core member of Sonoma County for Palestine for the last 16 months, where we've been building this community that's able to stand up and do collective action work like this and take on our elected officials for doing the wrong thing.
Okay.
What about you, Jeff?
Yeah. Well, I'm Maria and I work very closely together out here. So much of what she said about where we're from is true for me too. I've been a high school teacher for about almost 25 years and public high school teacher. And I come from a background, my parents, who are now in their 80s, before I was born, they were in the civil rights movement. They were in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. So they raised me with certain values to take seriously human rights and equality. And as I got more and more active, I started to, as an adult, I got very involved in struggles against police brutality. I used to live in Chicago, so I was on the other side of the lake, you guys, Lake Michigan.
Okay.
And real involved in solidarity work with trying to get political prisoners out, especially from the Black Panther Party that we're still in. There are, of course, still political prisoners today. And then international work, like being in solidarity with the people of Haiti for the last 20 years and trying to get the U.S. to take its foot off the neck of the Haitian people. And then when this massive genocide started up in Gaza, I was able to connect with Maria and other folks out here, and then that led to our class action.
Okay, thank you. Explain to people what this lawsuit is and why you're bringing it.
Do you want me to introduce the group first, Seth, or do you want to talk about the case? Up to you.
Go ahead, and if you want to talk a little bit how it came to be, and then I can break down some of the law argument, that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, so TAG, Taxpayers Against Genocide, is a grassroots group. We are just taxpayers in Northern California across 10 districts, 10 counties. Okay. We're almost 1,000 members of this class action suit at this point, and we are all federal taxpayers. We pay our taxes, and we trust that they are going to be allocated appropriately and legally by our representatives, our electeds. And in our districts here across these 10 counties, our representatives are Mike Thompson and Jared Huffman. They're congressmen. And so what we are doing is filing a civil class action lawsuit to hold them accountable. We are just people of conscience here in California. Some of us are Palestinian. Some of us are Jewish. We have a strong JVP chapter and a large coalition that is broad across. JVP is the Jewish Voice for Peace group. So we have a lot of folks here that represent a cross-section of society in our world who do not want our tax dollars being used for genocide. We've spent the last year petitioning these officials and others, our senators across the state, our Governor Gavin Newsom and the White House, you know, et cetera. We have done the work all year. So we've held rallies, educational events. We have done teach-ins. We've done art and cultural events, and we've done rallies. And a lot of us came together around this class action lawsuit at a rally outside one of Mike Thompson's fundraisers. And we decided that we had to do something really tangible to stop this. We are, you know, exhausted. Some of us are, who are Palestinian, for example, are paying for our own genocide.
Yes.
Wow.
That's what this is. They're making us complicit, every one of us on this call and every one of us in the United States that pays federal taxes, they're making us complicit in the genocide of the Palestinian people in plain view. We're able to watch it live streamed on our phones, and we're paying for it. They will not listen to us. We know that over, 70% of the American voting public has been polled throughout the last year, and they do not want our tax dollars being used to fund military weapons to Israel. The number is even higher. It's like 80% of voting Democrats, and it's about 65% of Republicans. So this is like across the board, something that taxpayers don't want. And yet it is being done in our name. But beyond that, we have legal code in the United States that prevents our tax dollars from being used to support genocide, to facilitate genocide. We have the Geneva Convention that's been ratified in our Constitution. So what is being done now in our name is also illegal. Virtually every international body of human rights has established such, that this is a genocide. And our representatives knew this because we've told them. They also had access to the information from all of these organizations before they voted to send even more money in April of 2024. So in April, they our representatives here, Jared Huffman and Mike Thompson, voted in favor of passing a military spending bill, federal tax dollar military spending bill to Israel. That was $26 billion, and that was in April of 2024, after months of genocide, of visible genocide, and official statements by UN bodies and international courts of justice ruling such that there was a plausible genocide. And so they've broken the law knowingly.
I think it's very important that you just said that the international court has said that this is genocide and has put out a ruling.
Yeah, to add on to that, like it was in last January, some of my students at the time at Rancho Cotati High School met with, they had reached out, they were in a human rights group, and they reached out to Representative Thompson. That was their rep too. They're minors, but they're still constituents. And they reached out and said, we want to meet with you. And he actually came to the school. And then they said to his face, that was right after the International Court of Justice made a ruling that there was a plausible case of genocide. People were seeing systematic video of the schools, the hospitals being destroyed. As we all know, the Israeli army and the government had cut off water and food into Gaza. It was like, it was before an open air prison or a concentration camp that had been converted into a death camp in real time before our eyes. Mm-hmm. So the student said, don't vote for any more military aid. And he essentially refused to follow that, along with, as Maria said, all of these other constituents over the months, lobbying, grassroots lobbying, unpaid lobbying, saying, please don't use our tax dollars this way or our parents' tax dollars this way. And instead, he re-upped to send $26.38 billion more, along with many other representatives of Congress. I'm sure it would be worth looking at inside of there in Michigan, as well as the senators of each state, right? Because the Senate also, a week later, finish the process, the appropriations process. So we started to realize if we want to stop this, we have to go to the source. And the source of the genocide is our tax dollars.
Okay.
Israel, in this case, could not carry out. They're using 2,000-pound bombs, for example. Where does the money come from for that? It comes from our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. Not to mention that the bombs are made here in the United States. The vast majority of weapons, including white phosphorus, it's being used against the Palestinian people, are coming from the U.S. and they're being underwritten by our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And so we started to do legal research. And as Maria mentioned, all of these folks from different counties up here came together. And we found with a progressive lawyer and a firm that the idea that Congress can just do whatever they want with our tax dollars and not be held accountable is false. Mm-hmm. Right. To your listeners and to your viewers, We're hoping that folks take this to heart, because it's starting to happen all across the country. People are reaching out to us and they're wanting to file similar lawsuits. They cannot just arbitrarily use our tax dollars in violation of international law, in violation of the Constitution. And the Constitution is clear that tax money should be spent for what it calls the general welfare, Article 1, Section 8. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the U.S. ratified the Convention Against Genocide, the International Convention Against Genocide. They ratified that. The U.S. ratified it in 1988. And when, per the Constitution, when the U.S. ratifies a treaty, it becomes supreme law, Article 6 of the Constitution. So that's not an option to just violate that. In part of that convention says genocide in, complicity in genocide is illegal. So our position in this case is they chose to reuse our, take our tax dollars and continue to fund this genocide, which by April 20th, the evidence was overwhelming, as Maria mentioned. And just like they couldn't take our tax dollars and build a private religious school, they would be sued. In fact, that happened in 1968. There was a Supreme Court case just over that that said that tax money has to be spent. It can't violate the Constitution.
Okay.
They certainly can't take our tax dollars and fund genocide. Mm-hmm. They couldn't take our tax dollars and pass a law to reinstitute slavery, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole notion that they can just do whatever they want, especially when our communities are suffering from underfunding. I heard you guys talking a little bit about budget cuts and whatnot before the radio. All over the country, like, why are the fires raging in California? Because we don't have enough climate abatement. We don't have enough money put in to healthcare, affordable housing, and to, as a high school teacher, our salaries are horrible, right? So why do we not have more money at home? And why are they illegally using our tax dollars to exterminate the Palestinian people? Could be the Palestinian people today. We well know that the U.S. government carries out similar atrocities all over the world, including Haiti.
What do you say to the people that Israel has come out and said that they have a right to defend themselves?
There's a couple of things. I think Seth probably has some as well. But one thing I would say is what Francesca Albanese has said, which is the special rapporteur on human rights and the condition of Palestinian people. She is the UN representative who has been studying and working with Palestine for a long time. Mm-hmm. She's explained very clearly that Israel has been defined as an apartheid occupier entity. Israel has taken over illegal pieces of Palestinian land, and they therefore have actually the responsibility of an occupier, not the right to defend themselves, but actually a caregiving responsibility over the people of Palestine as an illegal occupation. They have expanded settlements over decades. They have been very bold and brazen, especially in the last year, about these illegal expansions of Palestinian land and people. And the Israeli government is in fact lying. Mm-hmm. It's very simple.
Right.
No state has the right to exist. No nation state. People have a right to exist. The United States doesn't have a right to exist. You know, not in any inherent way. People have the right to be protected. Government can do that. But the government of Israel is an occupier that conducts an apartheid regime over an inequitable over a people, a population of millions of people, even Palestinians who live within the West Bank and proper Israel proper, as it's called, they do not have access to the same type of political and democratic rights that Israelis do. And therefore, they actually have a responsibility to protect Palestinians and do not have a right to defend themselves. The other issue is, very plain and simple, disproportionality. The Israeli government is funded by the world at this point, with military force, and Palestinians have been sequestered in Gaza for 15 years, and it has been ruled an open air prison. So when people try to break out of prison, a minority of people who are trying to just have access to healthcare, medical care that's been deprived of them, just basic food for decades. The Israeli state actually has a responsibility to break down those walls, to not confine people and keep them in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the folks in our movement, right, are, as Maria mentioned, are progressive Jewish activists and community members. And much of the literature about the occupation or the apartheid, right? Like, I know before Nelson Mandela passed away, he certainly spoke out vigorously against the apartheid in Israel, likened it to what they struggled against in South Africa. And same with Desmond Tutu, Bishop Desmond Tutu, you know, that this no apartheid state has a right to exist. What people want, including leading progressive Israelis like Ilan Pappe, the great historian, have been saying, we want a secular state where everybody with equal rights and enshrining the Palestinians' right to return after being violently dispossessed, the way Native Americans, indigenous people were dispossessed of their lands when the U.S. settler colonial project was going, you know, and is going. So that's kind of how we look at it. And, you know, within that context, we see the U.S. weaponizing funding the conversion of Gaza from an open air prison into a death camp. I mean, there's no safe place in Gaza. I'm sure people, if they haven't, they can just go online and see the video footage. You know, it's right. The heaviest bombing in the world. You know, and just recently, Doctors Without Borders came out with a report saying this is a full throttle genocide that's happening, paid for by our tax dollars. So I did want to say real quick too that. For listeners that want to, what's happening is, as I mentioned, folks across the country we created an email account once we launched this class action, and we're being inundated with hundreds of emails from around the country saying, how can I do this in my area? I'm not okay with this either. Mm-hmm. And so if listeners are interested, we're going to be doing a webinar on January 25th, Saturday. It would be 1 p.m. East Coast time. And 10 a.m. Pacific, you know, California time. And we're just welcoming everybody to come together. And the attorney is more than willing to, he said that the template of the lawsuit is replicable and can be shared. Mm-hmm. So we would encourage folks that are, if in any way, shape, or way, they wanted to join us in standing up against their reps, against their senators, and then to come to that webinar.
Do you think the United States will ever get it that instead of being the sheriff around the world, that we will finally take money, our taxpaying dollars, and keep that money home and invest in our infrastructure instead of trying to bully all over the world?
If I can real quick, Seth, I mean, I think about this all the time for my work, right? So I work here in the Bay Area in Oakland for policy at the state level on racial equity policy, on how to get tax dollars and funding into the communities who have been historically deprived, marginalized, and starved from these just basic resources that we all pay for, that we should have equal access to and equitable access. And so this is just one instance of where natural resources or oil interests in the Middle East, for example, but other parts of the world, I mean, obviously in Africa, and what's happening in the Congo right now, this is all connected to the way that our government chooses to use our money. So it starves locales of the tax dollars it needs for social services, and we have a ballooned military budget. That won't change as long as our Congress people and our senators have investments and interests in minerals and gas and in companies that depend on the extraction, the violence that's happening in the Congo right now.
Cobalt,
cobalt, et cetera, for all the things that we use on a regular basis that the monopoly companies have basically made it so that we can't live without. The military interests, the reason why there are large military interests for the U.S. because of that is because it requires this bully tactic. It requires this use of force, this constant abuse of power around the planet over our, 88 or different military bases around the planet where we are basically just regional bullies. And it won't change. We have, in this instance, one important thing to note is that what happens in the United States is that we have AIPAC. We have the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, and we have Citizens United from 2012 that allowed so much money to flow into our elected officials' pockets via donations that we have so much political interest in maintaining the way things are right now and increasing profit. And, you know, sometimes our elected officials even become shareholders in these death industries.
Just to tag on real fast, you know, part of what that no country in world history has ever spent so much on the military and had so many bases around the world and been perpetually at war my whole life. You know, I'm 54. My whole life, it's one war. I mean, like the invasion of Iraq when I was younger, and then again, and it's all relentless interventions and destruction in Haiti, for example. You know, it's just a long thread. And so this lawsuit is hitting a positive nerve of people who are like, they're fed up with both parties. They're fed up with, and saying to your point about, could we get the money back at home? Absolutely. But it's going to take grassroots organizing, and our eyes are wide open about the court system. We don't expect the court system to deliver justice. I mean, it would be beautiful if we could, we're going to take this as far as we can. It would be amazing if we could actually win. And if we win anything, we're going to donate everything to the Palestinian people. But what's really key is building that kind of mass movement that's not beholden to either party and across the country and saying, no more. And we encourage listeners to if anybody wants to just email us directly, our email is pretty simple. It's classactionagainstgenocide@proton.me. And we'd be happy to support you wherever you are. Yeah.
Pastor Burns, question?
Yeah. I'm just going to say, you know, when America, you know, we go to events, we chant USA, USA. But how do people's country get a perspective of how we're viewed in other parts of the world. How do we do that? You know, again, we talk about being the bully and being the sheriff all over the world. Again, when you get to travel or even watch news when you're outside the country, you get a different perspective on things. So how do you suggest people, you know, we're always talking about tell people to find ways to educate yourself and inform yourself. We know we talked earlier about what the 6 o'clock news shows us of what's going on in Palestine is sanitized and it has a specific reason and purpose. They show us and limit what they show us. So how do people get more informed? I know we talk about your webinar, but other ways people can get informed and get a different perspective, particularly on what's taking place in Palestine.
That's a really important question. And the answer is there's a lot of different things that we can do. We're seen by right now over Gaza, but also historically over all kinds of other the Latin American crusades the United States has been through, the disruption over the war on terror. Like, the United States is viewed as one of the most violent governments on the planet by other countries. We are viewed as the conductors of harm by a lot of our international community. And our international community does continue to do business with us because we are so big, right? Mm-hmm. But the, like you're saying, Melvin, like, the news we're being fed is often not just sanitized, but incorrect. We have a lot of corporate money involved in our, you know, mainstream news and media. We have to start looking for other sources. It's kind of our personal responsibility to start to take on our own personal education, and look for truth. There's a lot of reliable sources. I mean, and also our history can teach us so much. I would highly recommend, though, on Gaza specifically, like, there are amazing Israeli and Palestinian voices, historians and activists that have books and YouTube videos on what's happening in Palestine. You can educate yourself. A classic who has been talking about this for forever is Ilan Pappe, Noam Chomsky. There are folks that have been doing this work for a long time, and folks can reach out, you know, and do the research yourself and find some sources.
Okay.
So, programs like yourselves, right? I mean, like, this is incredible, community focus. I mean, that's, and then the reach you have, I mean, you're based in Michigan, but I understand the reach goes far and wide, and that's, we have to build our own media, you know, and I know that, and there's no substitute for just real experience too. Like, I heard before this program started that there's a support for sending kids to Ghana, you know, that's really, really important. I used to take my high school students. We had a sister school assault with the, in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince. And it was actually, it wasn't like a missionary thing. It was actually a solidarity trip where that we were working shoulder to shoulder with Haitian students and following the leadership of Haitian educators and activists. And that changed the students and me permanently. Cause then you see the U.S. through the eyes of Haitians who've been through multiple coups,
right,
who've gone through tremendous violence and suffering because of the U.S. government, but they make a distinction between the U.S. government and the U.S. people, you know? And, but that was, there's no, you know, those kind of things in the alternative media, we've got to do that.
Yes.
Right. Maria, Seth, would you promise to come and update us on this? Because, like, the thing is that what people are acting on is what they see on TV, but there are other news organizations out there like us that are trying to explicitly get out there and tell people that there's the other side to that coin.
Yeah, we'd love to. And thank you so much for having us. And one more thing I'd like to say too, though, is that one of the best things that people can do to be in solidarity with Gaza right now is follow Palestinians, follow them online, follow them on social media, follow Palestinian journalists who are being killed by the hundreds, follow people on the ground and stay close to the truth. And I want to mention again also that this lawsuit is just the start of something. And folks, please reach out to us because this has so much potential to start to build people power. People power is how we're going to make these systems change. Building community together, building trusting and powerful community together is how we make these changes. And we do that through principled campaigns like this. This is a sound legal case. This is a really important moment for us to build power and to say not in our name in any of these ways, not for Haiti and not for Cuba and not for Palestine and not for Congo. So
people, you do have power, and you need to listen to what these two people are saying.
Yes.
That you just don't have to accept your tax dollars leaving your pocket. You need to get out and take a step. Thank you so much for being on the show. We got to get you back because we need you for at least 3 hours.
Anytime, Gregory and Melvin. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank all you. Right.
Listen, that's the top of the hour, and man, that went so quick, and I got like 18,000 questions.
You know, when she said her mother was part of the original people were dislocated when they formed the State of Israel, I wanted to go there for an hour.
I know.
My grandmother, just talk about that. Man, yeah. We'll get them back on.
Well, we'll get them. We'll promise you that we'll get them back on. Listen, we're down at the bottom of the hour. You are watching and listening to Community Focus, bringing you news, information, and more. We'll see you in a second with our next guest. Welcome back to Community Focus with Melvin Burns and Gregory T. Roberts. Sponsor businesses that look out for you, and we want to thank Community Visit Tanzania for less for sponsoring us, and also Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns, who do we have for our next guest?
Our next guest is a daughter of the soil.
All right,
she is
all right.
A native of Muskegon. Would you join us in welcoming to the program Dr. Nicole Bradford Love?
All right, let's put our hands together.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So for people that don't know you, give us a little introduction of yourself.
Okay, so yes, I am originally from Muskegon Heights. So
Muskegon Heights originally.
Muskegon Heights. That, yeah. Muskegon Heights is my foundation.
All right.
Grew up in East Park Manor. So I grew up in a project, did the new projects, the old projects, until about my ninth grade year. And then I went to Heights, I went to middle school here. And then my ninth grade year, I went to Muskegon. So I graduated from Muskegon. I consider myself a big red tiger. So, you know.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So
you hear that, Melvin?
So I heard that.
Best of both.
That's right. That is right. So, yes, I am a native of Muskegon, and I'm just starting a new primary care practice here right in the Heights at 3102 Glade Street, which I'm sure you all are familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're gonna have our ribbon cutting pretty soon. But really what we do is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to serve the community in whatever job and whatever capacity that I have. And so I practice primary care medicine here in Muskegon Heights, Michigan. So anybody who needs a doctor for anything can come to our office. We do primary care, we do internal medicine, we do cardiology, we do the whole gamut. Of healthcare that you need.
Yeah. Dr. Nicole, there's so much that I want to talk to you about because the thing is that we as people usually wait when there's an ailment instead of being, we need to be preactive or the proactive, whatever. Right. We're too busy waiting till it's too late
before we get served. That is true. That's true. That comes from, I believe, our. I won't say it's something that is innate, but I think within a lot of us, we have that mentality that we just won't complain. You know, this hurts, but I won't complain. You know, and ironically, I just had an uncle pass away of pancreatic cancer, who never complained of anything until it was too late. And then by the time we found out about it, it's in his lungs, it's in his liver, it's everywhere. And he's like, well, I've been having pain, but he just didn't say anything to anybody.
Wow.
You know, so we have to start opening up those doors, you know, especially in the African-American community and especially with respect to African-American men, you know, allowing them to be not necessarily vulnerable, but just to know that, allowing them to understand that when you need help, there is help, mm-hmm. you know, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And also, you know, preventive medication. I mean, not medication, but preventive medicine. You know, some of these things that people are dying from, they shouldn't be dying from, because, you know, we check you for this annually and we could have picked up on this earlier. You know, so we have to be proactive. We are so reactive. We are so reactive. So we react to what has already been said or done or diagnosed. So we react, but we're not proactive, you know, when it comes to preventive medication, preventive medicine and screening and diet and all of those things that keep us healthy. Mm-hmm. And that is what our clinic, or what, you know, what Just Us Divine Health and Wellness, we will be focusing on. We do a lot of other things, but first and foremost, I want to have a panel of patients who want to be healthy.
Okay.
You know? Okay.
You know, you want to be healthy. I don't want people chasing sickness.
Okay.
Wow.
That's good.
Whole career, it's just, we're chasing sickness. We're chasing pills. We're chasing down the pharmacist. Mm-hmm. We're chasing down the doctor, you know. So no. I think it's time to be honest about that and say mm-hmm. that is what's happening, mm-hmm. you know. And then now, how do we fix it?
Okay. So, and I don't know if we've met before, but we have a mutual friend. So I've kind of followed you a little over 20 years.
Okay.
And I hear you talk about what you want to do in your practice, but I just want to educate people, and people's stories are interesting. So tell people a little bit about from back when you first started at Muskegon Family Care to where you are now, just a little bit about that journey.
Muskegon Family Care was my first experience in. when I first graduated, I went to Muskegon Family Care. And anybody who is in medicine now understands that community medicine is the hardest. So it's like you get thrown into the fire, which I was thrown into the fire. But I'm going to tell you, I tell my mentees now, if you spend 5 years at a place like Muskegon Family Care, you know, or have a community care where you're seeing the sickest of the sick people, then you'll be comfortable going anywhere practicing. Although it was difficult, Muskegon Family Care, working there was one of my favorite places to work. You know, I worked with our people. You know, it was funny that people come in and say, "What? Ain't your mama named BG? Or ain't your dad named Tyrone?" So a lot of times I had those conversations, and it's either your sister, you know, so they know my whole family, you know. But that was a fun part of the job. But as far as working at Muskegon Family Care and provider aspects, I learned a lot, and I would like to think that I helped a lot of people to stay healthy when I was at Muskegon Family Care. I mean, my learning curve, it never stopped growing when I was there. So community medicine and because you're serving the sick people who don't go to the doctor, who wait, like you said earlier, too long before we can do anything. So that makes it a little bit more difficult to stabilize them, to get them on the right track. And yes, we did that a lot. You know, we did it a lot. So I was there for, actually, I was there for 10 years at Muskegon mm-hmm. Family Care before I left. Mm-hmm. But doctor, I have to say that was one of my funnest jobs.
Doctor, I work as a fitness instructor, a swim instructor, and one of the things that break my heart is that I see a group of people that really work at their health.
Yeah.
But you said something earlier, we're too busy to chase a pill. But there are other people that sit back. They're really working hard in the gym, but they are a group of people that would just sit back and just chase that pill.
That's right. I mean, it's work to stay healthy. And honestly, it's expensive to stay healthy too. You know, so I think people have to get into the mindset of not just that it's, so you gotta, I tell them, you gotta take it in both hands here. You're going to work hard to stay healthy, or you're going to work hard to be sick. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Because it's going to although healthier foods cost more, you know, going to get a gym membership may cost a little bit more, but getting CAT scans, MRIs, chemotherapy, infusions, pills, it's costing you more to be sick. You know, then you're gonna, no matter what, you're gonna pay. And that's not just with money, but it's with time, it's with education, it's with intention. You know, it's going to draw out something from you. You know, so in my when I'm talking to my patients, I want them to understand that, you know, let's draw out of this cup. You know what I mean? You might come to me already with diabetes and 300 pounds and all of that, but that doesn't mean that your fate is death. That means we got a lot of work to turn around. You know, and as long as you stay on track and stay on course and stay patient, you know, we can do that.
Okay. Dr. Bradford, you're located in Glade Street in Muskegon Heights. That sounds like intentionality. Okay. Talk to us a little bit, you know, about this idea. You know, you're not out at one of the major health facilities. You're right here in the community. Talk to us about that and your intention in doing that.
Yes. So in this part, I will say on this side of my career, I've been practicing medicine now for 22 years. And for every part of my career, no matter whether I was at Muskegon Family Care, Hackley Community Care, you know, I was a full-time faculty at Western Michigan University, government consulting. I did a lot of different things, but I always did those things for other people. In this day and age, in corporate medicine, it is getting to the point where, you know, providers don't have the time that they need to take care of their patients. You know, they get 15 minutes and that's it, you know. And you don't have a patient that I've seen, you know, who it takes me 15 minutes to go through everything. So when I always have my desires to practice on my own. And as things begin to really change in corporate medicine, I thought, this is a good time for me to step out, because even now, the community and patients are understanding that, you know, I don't have enough time to talk to my provider about this or that or the other. And I go to the doctor and I might see this doctor or that doctor or this physician assistant or that. They may see somebody different every time. My intention is to sit with my patient and them see just me all the time. And so that's where the name Just Us comes in. It's like, it's me and you. It's me and you. I intentionally left corporate medicine so that I could practice medicine the way that I want to practice medicine. And that's not being rushed, you know, that is taking care of my work-life balance. It is getting trained in extra other areas of medicine and being able to do that. Like I also do beauty, Botox, I do dermal fillers, I do lips, you know, all that, you know, being able to practice medicine in a way that the community needs it. You know what I mean? This community is ill. Overall, compared to a lot of different places, Muskegon has one of the highest rates of diabetes, the highest rates of kidney failure. We have more people on dialysis in the city of Muskegon, you know, per capita compared to most other cities. So I think it's time to stop cookie cutting the way that we see patients. Like, you know, this patient has diabetes and this patient has diabetes, so we're going to treat them both the same way. No, we can't do that. You know, it doesn't work. I mean, you see it doesn't work. The community is not healthy. So my intention is to improve the overall health of the community with the patients that I'm able to see, and also have a have some work-life balance for myself. I've got nieces. Well, I have one niece who is going to medical school. So I'm excited for her, and eventually, You know, she could, I told her, I said, hurry up and get through so you can come and buy my prize for me.
Right.
I'll be ready to retire. You know?
Dr. Bradford, love.
You can call me Nikki. Please call me Nikki.
Okay, Nikki. Talk to people about that they have to become their biggest advocate.
Advocacy is so important. It really is. And when we say, for instance, you think back in the day, you know, doctor knows best, you know, apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, we know that's not true, you know, but people have access to so much more information now than they ever have. We all do. So I encourage my patients, you know, come in with some questions, write them down on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. You got Google, you got all these different places. And I understand, I try to tell people, you know, don't Google a lot of stuff because you go down rabbit holes and then you're scared, you know. So I educate them and I tell them, you know, you can go and look at the Cleveland Clinic information. You can look at Mayo Clinic information. You can look at WebMD information. And I say those three things. And I'm like, all the other stuff, don't look at that. You know, just look at these things, you know, and understand why you're there. You know, if you don't get it, if you don't understand it, make them explain it to you again, you know, until you get it. Before I branched off into Just Us Divine Health and Wellness, I was the only physician assistant who was in cardiac electrophysiology. And that's dealing with people who have heart rhythm problems, atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, all that. We built an electrophysiology program, myself, Dr. Eugene Chung. He was from North Carolina. He's going off to Boston, Mass now. But we built that program from the ground up here in Muskegon. And we service Muskegon, we service Grand Rapids. You know, in West Michigan, you could not get that type of therapy unless you went to Ann Arbor or Spectrum. But here in Muskegon, you know, you have people who they can't get from downtown to the Heights. They don't have the transportation. So how are they going to get to Ann Arbor? You know, so we brought that program here in Muskegon. And when you're treating people with those types of problems, it's very complex to explain to them, first of all, what is even happening to my body? You know, secondly, I'm telling them that, you know, some of these procedures that we do, some of the surgeries that we require, that we put catheters and wires in your heart, or I use a medication for you that I literally have to put you in the hospital to put you on because you could die taking the medication if I'm not monitoring. I mean, you're telling people some pretty complicated stuff, you know, and they have questions. And so the biggest, I would say one of the biggest compliments I got from my patients was that you are the only person who sat and explained this to me.
That's good.
I would have to talk a lot of people into getting help. Especially our Black males. Oh my, you know?
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
And they will say, I'm only doing this because you told me. Oh, now I got that on my shoulders, you know? But that's okay. That's okay. It's like, I would rather you do it than not do it, you know? But advocacy is important. And if you have family members, even if you just have someone, a friend, come to the office visit with you. Because sometimes they pick up on things that you don't pick up on because patients are nervous. Even in primary care, they're coming for blood pressure. Your blood pressure is through the roof. Why? You know, at home, you're good. But they come to the doctor and they get nervous and their blood pressure goes up. You know, that's a normal phenomenon. You know, so I say, you know, bring in somebody with you to ask questions with you. The first thing about advocacy is asking. You know,
That's the
first step. And not everybody has somebody in their family with any medical background, really, who knows what questions to ask, you know. So when I sit with my patients, for whatever reason, if they're going to surgery, if they're having any type of procedures, you know, let me tell you what to ask, you know. Let me tell you what you're looking for. This is why I sit with my patients for an hour, half an hour, 45 minutes. you know, because I want them to understand every aspect of medicine that, you know, you're going into. You need to go in with some kind of confidence. No, you don't have to be a doctor or a surgeon to understand, you know. No, you don't. You just need to know the correct questions to ask, you know. And I think that's one thing where we go wrong is like we just let people tell us stuff and we don't have a rebuttal. I mean, I wouldn't mind you sitting there with your phone and just let me just check this on the internet right now. You know, this is the way we live now. You know, back in the day, we couldn't bring the encyclopedia to the doctor's office, you know.
Right.
Some of us didn't even have the whole A through Z section.
Yeah. I got M. Whatever's an M, that's what I got.
Right. If you had A through Z, then y'all had some good income. You know, but if you had A through M, you were doing okay. But if you started with an N on forward, you know nothing about, you know. But we are well beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, we are well beyond that. So I tell people it is. It's a responsibility of you, you know, to begin to say, hey, I don't get this. I don't understand this. I'm not taking this medication unless I get it, unless I understand it, you know. And I have people do that on a daily basis. Will come to me and say, well, Dr. So-and-so or so-and-so said this and that. Should I take this medication? And I'll reassure them. Most of the time, I just reassure them because they haven't been given any bad information. Mm-hmm. You know, they just haven't been satisfied with the explanation.
Yes.
You know, so I like to tell people sometimes when they come to see me, you don't always have to walk out with a pill. You know, you don't always have to walk out with it with any kind of treatment. You can walk out of there with confidence because reassurance is medicine too.
That's good. That's good.
You know, when you reassure somebody that, you know, these labs that came through, you know, they don't mean anything, you know. And it's like, oh my goodness, I've been stressing out over this for 2 weeks. I ruined Thanksgiving because of this, you know, or because of that, you know. So yeah, so when you sit and talk to them and say, yeah, that doesn't mean nothing, you know, that you get these automated labs through my chart or whatever system that you use. And there's a whole bunch of results and something will say positive and you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, positive. Oh my God. Yeah.
I must have cancer. You know, something, you know, that's the first thing people say, you know, and then, you know, I go through every single thing with them, you know, to let them know. And they're reassured. I don't have to give you a pill for that. You know, I don't have to give you medication for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, education, advocacy, reassurance, asking questions, you know, that's key. That's key. I expect patients to come in with a whole thing. Well, I want, and I stop them sometimes when they went to, you know, Dr. Googleologist, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, we're not listening to nothing you got to say. Stay off of Wikipedia. You know, send you away from these things, you know, because people are going to look, they're going to watch because they want to know. Some people want to know, you know. So I try to steer them to the best information they could possibly get,
okay,
you know, and then come in with questions. Because I tell you, when I'm sitting on my computer with my patients, sometimes they have conditions that I don't know. I don't really know much about. Mm-hmm. You know, but I have resources, mm-hmm, you know, that I'll sit and show them what I'm looking at. You know, I'm like, you know, I have access to all this medical research,
mm-hmm,
and I'll sit there and go through a whole article with my patients and say, okay, this is kind of what we can expect. And this is how we'll move forward as a provider. Also, you have to be comfortable saying, okay, hold on, let me check this out too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I check it out in front of them. I check it out with them.
That's good.
You know, so, you know, we'll learn about this strange condition together because I have never heard this. You know, because that's that portion of the encyclopedia. You know, we only had through M, you know.
Dr. Bradford, Dr. Nikki, I'm going to call you Dr. because I'm going to give you a doctor. But okay. So when are you scheduled to open your practice?
So we are going to have our grand, I'm not calling it a grand opening because the practice is already open. I'm practicing out of Grand Haven Premier MD Plus. That's at 16986 Robbins Road. Mm-hmm. The organizing physician there is Dr. David Wilson. Mm-hmm. So I'm practicing out of that building right now. But I told him early on when we started that I wanted to my primary practice to be in Muskegon. You know, this is where the need is. So we're going to cut the ribbon over on Glade Street on January 25th at 1 o'clock. And so I'll have people gather at 1 o'clock, but I actually want to slice that ribbon at 125 on the nose because that's my mother's birthday.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I got a shout out to Marion Bradford. BG Bradford was the best mom in the world that, you know, so I told people, I'm like, we're starting at 1 o'clock. And if you guys are not on time, I'm cutting this ribbon at 125. You know, it's like, I'm going to have a timer set. Everything's going to be all set. And then, so that's from 1 until 3:30. Okay. And I'm going to actually conclude it at 3:22 because that's my daddy's birthday.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I had the best parents. If they were here, they'd be so happy. You know, so Tyrone, I'm not. Tyrone Davis is my dad. I'm him. He is me. I am him. So at 3:22, the event concludes. And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a dinner at the Lotus Room at 5 o'clock. So of course, the community is welcome at the ribbon cutting. And we'll have food, refreshments there, you know, just some light things to serve there. And then at the dinner at 5 o'clock at the Lotus Room, that'll be catered by Lakeisha Harris by Soul Field. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that at 5 o'clock and have our, you know, just kind of wind down, have our live band there, you know, and it's, you know, that's the way we're going to conclude it. And then the first week of February, between the first week of February, which I can't think of the date right now, but we are starting to see patients out of Muskegon.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Nicole, thank you so much. Promise to come back on the show and to keep us men healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That is my primary focus. We need you.
All right. Thank you so much. Listen, we are at 3 o'clock. We get the show. It has to end. Thank you to our sponsors. Listen, we used to say go out and sow a seed. We got to change that. This year, 2025, seek the truth. Don't believe what you're told. Seek the truth.
Seek the truth.
Listen, take care. God bless. We'll see you next week on Community Focus.
All right. Take care.